Our reading for today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the angels said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Hi. And good to be with you. My name is Luke. I'm on our pastoral team at Living Waters Church, and I'm going to share a couple of Christmas reflections with you. Just a moment ago, we heard a reading from Luke chapter 2, and at the beginning of that reading, we heard a phrase, and the phrase is, "And there were shepherds." And there were shepherds. What is a nativity? A nativity is a snapshot of the scene surrounding Jesus' birth. It's a display of the main characters of Christmas. I'm not talking about characters like Tiny Tim or the Grinch, though sometimes they end up involved anyway when children are around, don't they? For example, sometimes in our family's nativity, you'll find a nutcracker creeping in there or a couple of Christmas hedgehogs. That's creative and it's touching. It's not exactly historically accurate. The first Christmas nativity was staged in Italy by Francis of Assisi back in the 11th century, where he even borrowed a few live animals to bring the story to life, which is a tradition that continues today. I had a little nativity growing up, and I used to love letting my imagination take me back into that ancient story. There was a Mary and a Joseph, and of course, a baby Jesus. Now, in many nativities, the baby Jesus is quite small, so there's a real danger he'll get lost year to year amongst the other Christmas decorations. You always breathe a sigh of relief when you find him, don't you? Thank goodness we didn't lose the baby Jesus, because what's Christmas without him? Many nativities include an angel or two and a smattering of wise men. But of course, every nativity needs some shepherds. Shepherds really are in the original cast of Christmas. We're told that on the day that Jesus was born, only a few people were present for sure. Mary was definitely there, as any woman who has given birth will attest. You'd hope that Joseph was around. And as Luke's gospel also tells us, there were shepherds who were informed of Jesus' birth by an angel and then told where to find the baby, wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. We don't know much about those Bethlehem shepherds, but generally we know that in those days, shepherds weren't well off. They lived on the fringes of their society. Living on the fringes with the animals, shepherds in Jewish communities back then were considered unsanitary. So they weren't very welcome in the more sacred spaces and places. They also moved around a bit. So as with many nomadic peoples throughout history, shepherds had this reputation for having sticky fingers. They often caught the blame when things went missing. Add to this that shepherds weren't allowed to give testimony in a court of law, and a picture begins to fall into place. A shepherd in Jesus' day was thought of as a bit grubby and untrustworthy, the kind of person described by some as a sort of non-belonger, you could say. So it's a little strange that shepherds are recorded as witnesses of Jesus' birth, and the first people, in fact, to spread the news of Jesus' birth in Luke's gospel, because that kind of detail wouldn't exactly give your reader much confidence. If shepherds weren't considered clean, if they weren't thought of as credible, why on earth does Luke include them in his biography of Jesus? Why do shepherds still sit on our mantelpieces today? About 10 years ago, I was reading up on shepherds and came across a scholar who spelled out all the usual facts about them: a bit dirty, prone to theft, untrustworthy. And then he came to a conclusion as to why the shepherds we meet in Luke's gospel were invited to bear witness of Jesus' birth. After painting them in a rather negative light, the writer concluded that there was no reason to think, however, that these particular shepherds weren't devout people. Else why would they be given the privilege of such a special invitation? He concluded that these shepherds, the Bethlehem shepherds, were invited because they must have been very nice shepherds, really, and not at all unsavory types, certainly not on the naughty list. Now, I want you to know that I am not in the habit of arguing with dead scholars. It's not one of my pastimes, especially at Christmas. But when I read that, I wondered if this well-meaning gentleman was in danger of missing the point. Because it seemed to me that maybe one of the reasons shepherds were invited to see Jesus was because they sat in a category of people thought to be unclean and uncredible. Isn't it possible that these shepherds got an invite because they were non-belongers, invited now to belong because of Jesus' birth? In Luke's gospel, the shepherds are an early example of outsiders welcomed into Jesus' inner circle. They're the first in a long list of people who, on paper, others assumed were undeserving of God's welcome or favor. And yet, there they are. You can read all through Luke's gospel and meet all kinds of non-belongers whom Jesus makes room for. A common reaction to the inclusion of the non-belonger was that people grumbled about it. What are they doing here? So at the very beginning of Jesus' life, who do we find peering into the face of this world-changing newborn? Who are the first people to spread news of his birth? Shepherds. I think shepherds are a line in the sand in a nativity story. It's as if the gospel writer is saying, if you think Jesus has been born to build something that only polished people can enter, think again. Jesus' arrival means good news of great joy for all people, including the so-called non-belongers. And here's a shifty shepherd to remind you. Stick that on your mantelpiece and don't forget it. My question is, why do we forget it? Why did that scholar think that the Bethlehem shepherds must have been somewhat holy to warrant a welcome? We forget it because we forget the surprising truth of the gospel, the good news. So it's at Christmas we had better hear it plain and simple. And the good news is, as Tim and Kathy Keller sum up, we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. People are messy. It's tempting to polish the shepherd's reputation because we tend to polish our own reputations. We then assume that people are only welcomed by God because they're living the right way, that God's love is conditional based on good or bad behavior. But that's not the good news at Christmas. The good news is that everyone's mess is no match for God's holiness and love wrapped up in Jesus. Christmas tells us that Jesus' light is clearing away the darkness in the world, including our inner darkness. It tells us that God's not intimidated by our track record or reputation. In other words, Christmas tells us that we don't have to get holy enough for God to love us. Jesus' very presence, his birth, his life, his death, his life again, makes us holy. And for those of us who've spent our lives on the margins, forgotten, stigmatized, Christmas tells us that we belong in that nativity scene too, right alongside the shepherds. Christmas is good news of great joy for all people. There's a couple of other reasons why shepherds are included in Jesus' birth story. As we heard earlier in the reading, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, which was also the hometown of a shepherd boy turned king, David. So, like David, Jesus will grow up to be a shepherd king, leading and guiding the people. But also, in the ancient scriptures, and far more importantly, the Creator, God himself, was pictured as a shepherd, way back even in the first book of the Bible, Genesis. The image reoccurs throughout the scriptures. God is the providing, protecting shepherd, and the people are like sheep, prone to wander, prone to danger, prone to foolishness. People need to be led and fed. Now, there's an image that we can identify with too. For all our technology, all our education and work ethic, humans are pretty vulnerable and hungry. For all our self-assurance, we know how lost that we can get. How foolish we can be. You only need to look at the news this week to see the messes that we get ourselves into. Widespread self-absorption, devastating addiction, insatiable consumerism, cold indifference to suffering, hatred of others unlike us, war. Humanity gets lost. And do we even need to look at the news? The first place that I see lostness is when I look in the mirror in the morning, because that guy needs some work. That's why shepherds were also present the day Jesus was born. They're a sign that humanity gets lost and that Jesus is our good shepherd, searching for, rescuing, directing all his lost ones away from self-destruction and into hope and life. The child, we read further into the gospel, grows up into a man who willingly gives his life in a supreme act of sacrificial love, showing us unparalleled mercy and kindness. The manger points us to the cross. As Jesus himself says in John's gospel, he will lay down his life for his sheep. That's a very good shepherd. The shepherd is a picture of God's care for the whole world, you and me included, a love displayed by Jesus turning up to show us and tell us himself. On top of all this, remember that shepherds lived among their sheep. So what better image for Jesus? God in flesh alongside us, arriving in the humblest of spaces, a food trough for animals, a manger, later a cross. So that's why shepherds belong in nativity sets. In Luke's gospel, we see shepherds peering into a manger at the shepherd laying in the manger. They're present to tell us that our true shepherd is here. And he is calling all his beloved people to abandon the foolish idea that they can find their own way and instead to follow him. Belongers, non-belongers, all the categories we create, the labels we stick on one another are dissolved as we all huddle together around Jesus, warmed by his light and life. The shepherds are a sign that because of Jesus, we each belong in God's company. Laying there in the folds of Mary's apron, the whole world is welcomed into God's beloved sheepfold. Now, the Bethlehem shepherds got a front row seat to Jesus' arrival. But we get a front row seat too, because Jesus is still here with us right now by his Spirit. Imagine that. Jesus among us still, with all our mess and questionable reputations, making us holy, teaching us to love one another as he has loved us. We are, even now, still huddling around the holy fire of his light and life. You know, I've often wondered if any of those Bethlehem shepherds got to hold Jesus the day he was born. And the fact is, we just don't know. We weren't there. We're not told. But the closing question that I have for you this Christmas Eve is simply this. What does it mean to take Jesus in your arms, in your heart, to welcome Jesus even right now? The good news is that you're very welcome to hold him and know him, an invitation that is still open to you and to me this very Christmas.